can say like quit this, do that, whatever. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know the person that's currently viewing this, right? I feel like you have to make that decision yourself. If you feel like you've got what it takes, right? And I strongly had that feeling when I was like 17 or so already, which is kind of weird, but I just had the feeling of like, I don't know, I'm not going to go to school. It doesn't really make sense. And then I don't know, I just knew I was going to do something, which I know sounds very weird. I'm also not sure where that's coming from, but I just kind of had that feeling. But like I said, you never really know if for every person like me, for example, there are 10 other guys that also didn't go to college, but now they're messed up and they're like, life's not going well. So that's always tricky. But I think, yeah, all you could say is like, just make that decision yourself. Don't really get too caught up in people saying you need to go or need to do this, or, you know, like, don't do that, because then you're only going to go against your own thoughts, and that's not good. So I just think decide yourself instead of getting forced into it. But yeah, like you said, apart, like in terms of like quitting college or this and that and like building the fundamentals, if you're in a situation where you can build the fundamentals, and then even if that wouldn't work out within 6 months, you would have no problems at all, then definitely do it. So I was living at home. I was 17 when I finished high school, right? I then went to Thailand in like summer 2018. And then when I got back, I was still 17. I lived at home. If I didn't make any money, there was no problem at all. If I didn't do whatever, there was no problem. So I was kind of in a situation where I didn't even have to make money or, you know, anything. Whatever happened, yeah, if I didn't get successful,
yeah, I got you. Yeah,
exactly, there wouldn't be a problem. So if you've got that situation, then I definitely think you should not go to college. If you don't know what you would be doing, if you don't know that the class that you're going to be taking is what you actually want, plus you've got a situation where if you don't go, you can explore a business or whatever it is, right, that you want to do without having any issues at all, even if it doesn't work out within the next year, then definitely do that over just going into it for a matter. I'm Yuri. I am born in the Netherlands. I now live in Dubai since a couple months. And yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure we'll get into all of it a little bit later. But I basically started with YouTube when I was 18. Yeah, 19, 18, somewhere in that range. So when I kind of started taking it seriously. And then I'm sure we're going to get into that. But yeah, basically now just doing YouTube automation, which is outsourcing video content, but owning the channel. So instead of like we're doing right now, actually, we're making a video. We all need to be here so that we can actually make it. Instead of doing all of that, you outsource the video content and then you pay people to help you out with that. So you pay a freelancer team, you create videos through that, and then you own the channel. So then if you can make more money from those videos than that you pay to the team, you've got yourself a profit and then a business. And that's kind of what I'm up to right now.
Yeah, so you're 21 now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm about to be 22. Unfortunately, I'm getting old in 9 days, actually.
I wouldn't say that's old.
Feels like it.
Yeah, but I remember the first video I saw of you. It was you like scaling the 10K in 30 days. Like, what was like the first channel you made to just like get to that point?
That was the one I started growing in 2020, I think. So yeah, just like for the background, I started YouTube, like I said, January 2019, because you have people like Graham Stephan and Riaz the Entrepreneur, a couple more. Yeah. They started sharing how much money they were making on AdSense, which now is pretty common, right? You'll find so many people that do that if you search for it on YouTube. But back in the day, it was kind of like this secret thing of like YouTube money and like how much people made. No one really knew. But then he started sharing those numbers, and like numbers were insane and pretty, yeah. You guys probably know, like his CPMs are just off the charts. And then he was getting millions of views. So he's making like six figures just from the ads. So I saw that and then I thought, okay, it's actually possible to do this, because before that, it was kind of like a secret. Nobody knew. So that's when I got started, but then I just started doing videos myself. Kind of had that going. Now, long story short, that just took 6 months. I uploaded for like 6 months, pretty much daily. Might have skipped a couple of days. Then in summer 2019, June, I got monetized. Now, bear in mind, this is all just me still making videos myself. So that's where I got monetized. And then I started making like $20 a day for the first month. And then a couple months after that, like September, October, I started making $100 a day. And that kind of continued to go on. And then to answer that question, in late 2019, I started a second channel. And that is the one that really got going very quickly. So then in 2020, I started uploading a lot on that channel, still doing the work myself in the beginning of the year. Just going crazy at it, uploading a lot of videos. And by a lot, I do mean a lot. So I mostly do like the search-based channels. I'm not sure if you've seen that, but it's basically, it's all about ranking videos in YouTube search, just like you got with articles in Google. In this case, it is pretty much the same, but then videos on YouTube. So the more you upload, the better, kind of. So I started uploading a lot of videos, like 3, 4, 5 times a day, sometimes even up to 10, if I was really going crazy at it. And then that just continued to grow. I had a goal of like $4,000 by the end of 2020 with that channel. And I think I already hit it in like April because I was stuck at home, as we all were back at the time. So it allowed me to just go crazy. But to answer the question specifically about the 10K thing, that channel grew to 10K, I think, within 6 months or 7 months. It wasn't 30 days. I'm not sure where you got that part from. That must have been something else. But that channel was making $0 a day in the beginning of the year. And then in September 2020, it hit 10K revenue. And then the end of the year was at 17 or 16K-ish. So that went pretty fast. That went within like a couple months of uploading a lot of videos.
Yeah, yeah. What I've seen from other people I've talked to in the YouTube automation space, it's like a lot of them just caught on to trends. Like I know for you, for example, I remember hearing that you started like an Andrew Tate channel, then that got like $500,000 plus or something just because it was like Andrew Tate. Like, and he was just like such a big trend of the summer, like if not defined the summer.
Yeah, that was indeed. Right now, it's a bit unfortunate, of course, because all the stuff
that's happened. I'm so sad about that. That is, yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, that is what it is, I guess. We'll see what's going to happen in the future. Very, very curious to see what's going to happen with that. But yeah, that's a great example of people getting a lot of views with just a trending topic. Yeah. So in 2020, my first channel that really took off like crazy was, I mean, it was about trending stuff, but not like a specific trend. So because they were search-based channels, I just kind of uploaded whatever gets views and that ranks in search. So that could be a video about, in this case, could have been Andrew Tate, for example, but then the next video might be something about football, like so totally unrelated, as long as individually they can rank in YouTube search and I can get views with those videos, I would have uploaded them. And that's what I did. So I guess I was making videos about trends, and yeah, I guess you could classify it as that. But I also just uploaded more evergreen stuff. But yeah, like you said, a lot of people use trends to grow because it's like a good way, obviously. If something's trending, there's not a lot of, like, it's kind of fresh. Mm-hmm. It's new. There's a lot of demand for it, but not so much supply. Then you can make those videos and chances are you'll catch on. But then you got to make sure to not rely on the trend too much, because if then the trend stops, then your whole channel is basically going to die. But yeah, trends are a great way to grow, especially where you're starting.
How'd you get into YouTube automation in the first place? Besides that, you know, videos.
Yeah, let's pick up that story. So like I said, 2020, that one channel started growing like crazy. I had one channel that I started in 2019, personal. And then in the summer of 2020, I then had that personal channel still, which had like 100K subs. I was making like $1,800 a month or so. And then I had the second channel that was picking up pretty quickly. And that in like summer 2020 was making like six grand-ish. And then in that summer, like August 2020, I think it was, I sold my first channel for $25,000. And the guy that bought it from me had like a program on how to do like the YouTube automation thing. Now that program wasn't too great, but I did learn, or I did at least find out how you should like at least find people to make the videos for you. It didn't really go in depth that much, but it just showed like Upwork. So then I got started with Upwork and I just kind of figured out, okay, so you can hire people here. And that's kind of when I got that going. So when I sold that channel, I wasn't really like happy with what I was doing or interested in it anymore. So I sold it. And then I had the thought of using that 25K that I got from the channel to start doing the YouTube automation thing. So I just basically sold my first channel, used it as a fund to get all the videos done for what then became my first channel again, but that was basically that second channel that started making a lot of money in 2020. So in August 2020, I actually switched to YouTube automation. Now how I found out about it, I think it was through a bunch of people on Instagram, just like, you know, like the flashy Instagram stories, like the 10K a day and this and that, that kind of stuff. That's kind of how I think I got into it. I'm not sure exactly, but I think like you said earlier in this call, you had like Caleb Box and you had Chase Nemec. Like, I'm not sure where they went, but those were the guys that were just like flashy, like just a flashy general, like post about YouTube stats and this and that. And they did it without making videos and blah, blah, blah. So I think that's when I first got introduced to it. So I thought the concept was cool. And then, like I said, I sold my channel and then I had the thought of using that money to basically start outsourcing. And that's kind of where that got started.
So what kind of startup cost would someone need if they wanted to start getting to YouTube automation? Like, how much would it cost? I guess you could say upfront, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So upfront, it's kind of like a monthly investment thing. Because if you're going to do like, you're going to invest X amount once, then next month you don't have uploads, right? So I always say it's like $500 a month minimum is like really the minimum thing. It's not really, it's like, I wouldn't say it's a beginner business model because you do need like, it's not like you need crazy money, but I would say you need at least a couple hundred dollars a month. Because if you look at how much video costs you, depends on the format and the niche, but just on average, like if you pick like the general ones, usually it's like $50 on like the low end, and then it's like 60, 70 maybe. But let's say it's $50 on the low end. If you've got $500, you can upload 10 times a month, which is doable. 10 times a month is decent, I guess, but preferably it'd be a little bit more. If you can do every other day, that'd be great. If you can do daily, that'd be perfect. Exactly, especially if you're a beginner, because if you're a beginner, you don't really know how it works yet. So if you upload every single day after a month, you would have uploaded 30 times. You would have more data. You would have uploaded more. So you got more experience there. Just basically your learning curve will go much faster compared to having $100 and only uploading 2 videos a month. So I would say about $500 is the bare minimum, but preferably I would say like $800 a month, $750, somewhere in that range. And then you can really get like a good amount of uploads out that allow you to understand how it works faster, upload more, get more data that you can use to grow, blah, blah, blah. It's like a kind of like a snowball effect. If you've got that amount of money that you can use for videos versus if you don't, it's just going to go much, much slower.
And you were just able to just like outsource everything and you weren't even touching anything basically, or?
Well, kind of. So right now I'm at a phase where I don't have to touch anything and the current channels will keep going and keep growing. Yeah. But that wasn't like that when I got started with that, obviously. It wasn't like I just found some people and then all of a sudden everything was taken care of. So I just started outsourcing the video part first. So then that means that I still have to do the research and then I still was doing like some thumbnails. I'm not sure exactly why I was doing that. Pretty big mistake. So I got into the outsourcing part, but then I think because I have been doing it myself for like 1.5 years, or like 2 years almost, like every single day, I thought that, okay, I know how this works. You know, I need to do this. Otherwise, it's not going to work, which is a big mistake or like a limiting belief kind of thing. So I started outsourcing. I didn't make the videos anymore. I had that done by other people, but then maybe I was still doing like some uploading, some thumbnail here and there, some this here, you know, I was kind of doing some different things for different channels still, which is kind of bad because that kind of stopped me from growing faster. But that's kind of how I got started. So I did outsource the videos, but then I was doing some small parts here and there in the business. And then slowly I just kept outsourcing more, I would say, up to the point now where I've got a researcher. So someone that figures out which videos to make for the channels, then the creation team, obviously. So they make the videos and then I've got a team manager. So the team manager is in contact with the creation team. So if there's any like questions, any mistakes, any people not delivering on time, anything like that at all, the team manager will then take care of it. He will send me a weekly report at the end of the week so I can see how many videos were uploaded, the view count, if there are any major big problems at all or not, which doesn't really happen a lot, but just in case. So right now I've got all of it outsourced and automated where I guess you could say I don't have to touch it and then it will continue to grow because that's now all set up. But it wasn't like that right off the bat. So I started just with the outsourcing itself, just doing some stuff myself here and there, and then just kind of progressed into hiring all the positions and then setting all of that up to the point where it's not necessary to do the work. I still recommend if you are in that position to still keep an overview, of course, see what's going on. But it's not necessary to actively work on every single part anymore.
Yeah. So if growing a YouTube channel, like, and just outsourcing everything can become just that simple, and you've been able to literally make $10,000 in 6 to 7 months, just like when you were first beginning, how come do you think there's like a lot of people out there that have been struggling to grow their YouTube channels for years, and they're just stuck at like 4,000 subscribers for like 4 or 5 years?
I'm not sure, like, that can be so many answers to that question, but I don't know, like, at the end of the day, you got to make stuff that people want to see, and then that actually works out, right? Which is very cliche, but that's the way it is. So if people keep making, I guess to answer the question specifically, I think then people continue to make the same kind of stuff that has been proven not to work. So it's either like they think, and I've been there, like back in the day, I didn't really used to like analyze my videos that much. I would just make them and I would like, okay, this is the video, this is what I do. And then I just kept doing that and just in the hopes of things working out. But if you've been stuck at a specific subscriber count, or you're just not getting more views or whatever, you have to realize that whatever it is that you're doing now is not good enough, and then figure out what it is. So looking at your studio, looking at your data is really important. If you figure out what it is that is working well and what it is that's not working, you can take that and use it. So what I did in that 2020 period, where I just kept growing every single month, I was looking at my data every single day. So every single day I was uploading these videos. But then also I was looking at my data every single day. So I was trying to figure out why my views were going up, because at the time they were starting to go up. So you have to understand why they're going up, because I actually get quite some people, or like see some people that upload videos, and they actually get like a few videos that do well. And then they don't know how to use that data or how to use that fact to keep growing. So they'll just randomly start uploading other stuff, and that kind of kills the channel. Whereas if they would have looked at the data and understood what to do, then they would figure, okay, these videos, I've uploaded 30 videos, 27 of them had 100 views. The 3 videos about NFTs got 1,000 views. You need to upload more videos about NFTs, but you only see that if you look at your data, which then a lot of people don't do, or they don't know how to interpret it. So I guess to answer that specific question, I think it's then because people either stay stuck in doing what they have been doing that doesn't get the results, and not using their data in an objective way to grow their channel and figure out what they need to do more.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they see really popular creators out there. Maybe they see like someone like Mr. Beast. Like, I remember we had a guy on whose videos literally exactly resembled the style of Mr. Beast videos. But the thing was, is that there aren't a lot of Mr. Beast out there. Like, he's one person, right? But the thing was, mm-hmm. a lot of people, maybe they think they can try to recreate someone like that. That's like so scarce, and you don't really see a lot of them in the world because they have their own unique style. But because of that, like, people are saying like, yeah, he's a wannabe this, like, he's a wannabe that, right? But then what ends up happening is that they're stuck at a low subscriber count because the niche they selected is just, it's so like out there. It's like someone has already taken it. And I think a lot of people are looking at it and they're like, hey, I don't, someone else has already done this. Like, you're really just trying to copy what they're doing. Like, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah, 100%. I think, like, to some extent it kind of works, because if, let's say you're just beginning, then I would say do that, because if you've got no clue at all, right, you're just beginning, and you try and like come up with some magical concept yourself, or, you know, that's kind of like the hard way to do it. I guess if you're beginning, definitely do that. Look at like other big channels or people, like whatever they do, right? If they're successful, yeah. whatever they do, just try and do the same thing just to learn. And then over time, start changing that, start creating like your own identity and your own kind of videos. Yeah. Because otherwise, like you said, you're just becoming like a second Mr. Beast, and you're never going to be as good as the first person that you're recreating it from. So that doesn't really have any, yeah, like positive impact after a certain time, I would say. But I guess if you're just starting out, there is some value in doing that for the people that start recreating those videos, because they can learn how it works, and then slowly but surely they can start shifting a bit to their own kind of style or videos. But yeah, your point is definitely mm-hmm. just definitely a fair point.
Yeah, the way I see it, I think that, you know, maybe in 2008, right? Maybe like you could do something like this because like YouTube wasn't like immensely popular. It wasn't like the number one thing that, you know, everyone was like, oh, it wasn't as big as TikTok basically, right? But mm-hmm. and then like because of that, there weren't all these really popular creators out there. There was only maybe a couple, and like I don't even know where they went now. Like I don't think they're even making videos anymore. But because there was a very low amount of people that were doing stuff like that, it was easy to take up those slots of particular people, particular niches and things like that. So like I think now with like what I've seen after doing research into like all this YouTube automation, it's either like you stick to trends or you start a channel that's like providing value in a sense. And that's like what I've seen from this podcast is that you can't really make a podcast where like you're just joking around with your friends the whole time. Like it has to be something that provides value to people. It has to be something that, you know, people are going to spend their really valuable and scarce time listening to your stuff because it's helping them improve in their lives. Because something like, for example, David Dobrik's vlogs, like if someone were to try to resemble that, like it's really hard to get big in a niche and industry like that, because, you know, like people are not going to want to waste time on content like that if like other people have already done that, right? People are always looking for value, and that's the only reason why they're going to watch your stuff. It's very hard mm-hmm. like for it, because I think that for people to get their name out there and become someone that's like as big as like Logan Paul or someone like that, like it's one in a billion, and like the best way right now is just provide value in your own way.
Yeah, definitely. Because if you're going to do, let's say, similar stuff to David Dobrik, like you're never going to make it as good, or you're never going to get his audience in this case to yeah. watch your videos and think they're better. Maybe like a few people would think it, but it doesn't have that same sentiment to it. So then it's really hard to give it that same feeling or get like that same unique touch on it, especially if you're just trying to copy a format.
Yeah, honestly, like I think the reason why Dobrik got so big was that because he was like the first one to do that particular style. Like no one was doing those 4-minute, 20-second vlogs and then uploading like three times a week of that, like, you know, that mm-hmm. precise thing that, and it like, I think what those videos did, it gave off a feeling of, you know, like people were happy when they watched it. They had like this really good and exhilarating feeling about it. And then with, for example, like the only couple of people I've seen like where the content that is similar like works out is like Danny Duncan and Baylen Levine. Like their content is really similar, but the thing is that I think that when Baylen emerged after Danny Duncan, his content had like a little bit of uniqueness to it that made it, you know, like people knew like that's Baylen Levine's content, you know. Like do you see that like with your channels too? Like you have to provide a very unique style. Like it might start off the same as someone else, but it just gets like your own personal like taste in it. Like mm-hmm. you can see like your own personal stuff.
Yeah, with some of them they do, some of them they don't. So I've got some channels that are just about value, so like yeah. tutorial stuff, as some might have seen before, but that is just like providing value. That doesn't really, like, it's not really about like this specific edit and like this funny clip here or there. So that's not really the case with those channels. That's just about value, like you mentioned before as well. And then others, that's indeed the case. Like exactly like you said, you can kind of start off like mimicking some other channel or like modeling it. That works fine because that like kind of allows you to keep growing and get off the ground in the first place. But then if you continue to do so, you're just another one of those channels. And that's really something you should avoid, and what a lot of people don't do, especially with YouTube automation, and maybe also with just personal creators itself. Like they try and fit within such a specific niche or a specific format or thing. And because of that, they're all just kind of the same. So if you end up the same, then there's no reason for people to watch you over the other channel or the other channel over you. It's just kind of like wherever they end up or like their personal preference. Whereas if you model a channel at first, but then after that, once you've got the audience, once you've established that, and then you switch it and you try and like create your own style, you make your own like thumbnail formats and your like intros and like all that kind of stuff, whatever you can do to make it feel unique or like actually build like a community, like an actual community out of it. Channels like Charisma on Command, for example.
Yeah,
that's a great example. That is pretty much a YouTube automation channel, right? But they've built like a community. I'm not sure exactly. I think they've got programs, they've got Discord communities. They really make it a thing rather than just some videos put together from some B-roll on the internet. I think that is really important if you're in it for the long run. Otherwise, you're always rely on trends, or you just become another version of another successful channel.
Demo, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think that a lot of YouTubers now who are getting big are starting to see the advantage of doing that. Like, I know I watch a lot of cooking videos on YouTube, just like with different, because I think that space is like really interesting. And I see a lot of different people are starting to go more into podcasting and especially Discord servers too. And then, you know, making their own like kitchenware, like knives, things like that, merch, everything. You know, because I really think that they're trying to, that space is like so shared that I feel like they're trying to, you know, create their own community so that way they can, you know, take advantage of the people that they have essentially and then grow bigger from there. And then, you know, have benefits for the people that do end up joining and becoming members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I think if you look at the biggest YouTube automation companies, actually, then I guess, I mean, depends how you call them. They are pretty much media companies. You've got Valentin Media, which has like Screen Rant, The Richest. They've got all of these big channels, all of which are pretty much doing YouTube automation. And these are channels that actually like turn into an actual business, like a full-blown media company with offices in like, I'm not sure where, like New York, like these kind of cities, right? So that's very interesting to see where the biggest companies that do it actually turn it into a business by just making it like a full thing rather than just a channel with some videos.
Yeah, actually, I didn't realize, like, now that you mention it, I never really realized that, like, The Richest and, like, Charisma on Command, like, that's all YouTube automation. Like, I never even thought about it that way, which is really interesting. It just, like, opened my mind a little bit.
Yeah, it is. You can take a look at Valnatink Media on their website after the call. You'll see, like, they've listed all of their channels because they're, like, a media company, right? So it provides some value to show the channels. But there are, like, a dozen channels or maybe even more. And all of them have got, like, pretty big sub counts, views, all of that. And it's, like, a full media company, which is very interesting. It's something different as to how we know it, or like how we knew it before all this like YouTube automation stuff, right? We didn't really think a company like that would just make faceless YouTube videos, but that is pretty much all they do. And then they've got a ton of employees, offices, all that stuff. So I find that really interesting to see how usually it's like media companies are just whatever, right? For TV or like all social media, whatever. And then now you're starting to see big companies for YouTube automation specifically. And I'm sure that even some people that are not really public about things that have similar companies set up with like a ton of employees and this and that, that you don't even see because they don't, like, they're not acting as a media company to the public. But it's very cool to see that that starts happening now.
So like with The Richest and Charisma and Kamel, like would one person make like one channel and then from there, like they would expand and create those channels? Like how would that work?
As in, how do you go from your first successful one to multiple?
Yeah,
I see. Yeah, so there, obviously, like you can do that in so many ways, but the smartest way I've seen it and that I do myself as well is once you've got your first successful channel, see if you can simply replicate it on a second channel. Now, it depends on the niche and the format, but let's say you got like one of these celebrity gossiping channels, and one of your channels is doing well. What you do instead of starting a football channel, your second one, or a tennis or whatever, right? Just a different niche. You simply do the exact same thing. We just start a second channel. So you do the exact same thing. You don't upload the exact same videos, as in you don't take the same exact file and put that up on a second channel, no. But you do very similar topics, very similar stuff, because you already know the niche. You've already got the audience and you already have the kind of teams that can produce those videos. So you simply start a second channel, kind of with the exact same thing that you have been doing. And then you just like switch up the titles a little bit. You cover a few different other topics, or I guess in the celebrity gossiping niche, there are always two topics that you can make videos about on a daily basis. So instead of uploading one, so your main channel, you then just add another one that could do well on the second channel. And then you start linking the audience to your second channel. So once you've got that first successful one, whatever niche you're in, start a second channel that is doing very similar stuff, and then start linking the two together, which you can do by having a link in the description on your main channel video to the second channel, end screens, community post. You basically try and see every little thing that you can use on YouTube to funnel traffic to your second channel. And then that kind of audience is going to watch those videos. So you'll end up in their home feed, subscriptions, if they're going to subscribe, all of that stuff. But then YouTube already gets the data as well on that second channel, which is what it needs to get pushed a little bit further right away, rather than growing a football channel from zero again, or whatever niche you're in, right? Just a different niche growing from zero again. You then simply use the audience and the knowledge that you've built with your first successful channel to build another one. and then you can kind of keep that going. And then later on, you can start shifting a bit to other niches, and then you simply keep that format going. So it's, you have a successful channel, start a similar one, second channel, upload the same kind of stuff, and then funnel the audience from the first channel to the second channel, and then you kind of just keep that going.
But would your audience get bored of the same kind of content though? Like, when would you know when to switch what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the thing is, maybe, but probably not. So for example, I'm not sure if you guys are on YouTube much every single day, but let's say that I'm on YouTube for like 2 hours per day. That means I'm going to watch 2 hours of content. Let's say my first channel uploads an 8-minute video, then there's still a lot of room left for that person to click on one of my other videos. So as long as you make interesting stuff, then there is no problem at all. Because it's not like with drop shipping or anything like that, where it's, I'm either going to buy, let's say, this microphone from a store, or I'm going to buy one from the other store. It's not like one or the other. It's like, you can watch this video, but you can also watch that video. So what you could do, especially if you got two channels yourself, is you can merge the two together. So let's say upload video number one on my main channel. It's about, let's say, Chris Rock, whatever, slapping Will Smith, right? And then I can end that video with a specific call to action or a cliffhanger or whatever to the second channel video. I'll leave an end screen, and it then goes to the second channel. So I now made it I now gave them a reason to watch the second channel video. So whether they'll get bored, probably not, because people just watch a ton of YouTube every single day, and they'll probably stay within the same kind of topics. It's not like they're going to watch makeup and then a vlog and then football and then this and then that. Maybe it happens, but if people were interested in the topic at all, they will click. So it's not like they're going to get crazy bored. Maybe if you do it with 10 channels and you expect them to watch every one of those videos if you upload daily, yes, but two channels, there's definitely enough room for that.
Yeah, and yeah. I also see a lot of people that we've just interviewed a lot of people in the online business space, whether it be like SMMA, YouTube automation, dropshipping, e-com, etc. Right? Like I always like to ask these gurus this. Like, and I know, you know, you've probably reached a point now, like, you know, where you've become so successful with this. Like, I just got to ask, like, what are your opinions on college? Like, what do you
think? I like the buildup. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I haven't gone to college. So I quit. No, I didn't quit. I finished high school when I was 17.
Yeah.
And back then I had like a Instagram theme page business that was making like, I don't know, a couple hundred up to $1,000 or so. So I kind of had like a reason not to go, or like, at least I could say like, yeah, I'll take a gap year and this and that, you know. Yeah. I knew it wasn't going to be a gap year, but I just told that to some people so they're not going to ask questions, right? But yeah, I didn't really go to college. I never really had the inspiration to.
Yeah.
Like, I had no clue. Like, school wasn't really my thing, which is kind of like the typical, like, guru, you know, online business kind of thing now. But yeah, it really is. That really was the case. I didn't really pay too much attention. Didn't really do homework or anything like that. But I just had no, like, it wasn't really for me. Like, you know, like, I didn't do anything. I didn't really have a specific, oh, I want to become this or I want to become that. So I needed it, you know? So I just kind of naturally didn't like even go to college. Never looked into it, to be honest. So yeah, in terms of like a personal experience with that, I didn't really go and I still ended up fine. But then I never know if there are like 10 other dudes like me that also did that and now they're not doing so well. I'm not sure. But on college itself, I guess it just depends what you want to do. Like, if you know specifically you want to be a doctor, obviously go to college, right? Or, you know, you obviously don't become a doctor by just watching some YouTube videos. But if you're not sure about what you want to do and you're 18 or you're 19 or you're 17 or whatever, I don't think you need to get into it. Just do nothing for a year. Just see what you like. Just, you know, just start playing around. Like, what's the worst that could happen? You waste a year? No, you don't waste a year. You just figure out what you want to do in your life. But I see a lot of people, I'm not sure how that is over there, but in the Netherlands, where I'm from, right, people kind of, I guess it's everywhere, like you kind of get forced into it because like all of your friends go, parents want you to go, blah, blah, blah. So you need to go and then you just pick whatever because of you needing to go. You just pick whatever for the sake of it. And then you end up in the system basically, right? So in the Netherlands, like most of the people then move out of their home. They move into like some crappy studio, like a studio apartment, some one bedroom where they pay like $500 to live with five other students. and then they have to loan money from the government, and then that ends up with like 40k in student debt, and then you cannot get a house, and then it can, like, before they are 20, they're basically like in the system and they cannot get out because they've got all of the stuff that is set up the wrong way. And I think that is kind of caused by going to college and then getting forced into it. But like I said, it depends what you want to do. So if you want to do something specific, of course, I think you should go, because otherwise you're not going to become a doctor, for example, right? But if you're not sure what you want to do, and you just choose something, whatever, just for the sake of it, just so that you go to college and don't seem like an idiot because your parents want to, or all of your friends do it, or anything like that. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think what I've seen is that a lot of people that, I guess, they want to pursue that entrepreneurship lifestyle, like that online business kind of stuff, like these are people that they just want to drop out of high school, and like I think that you really have to develop the fundamentals first. Like, you have to develop like the mindset. Like, for example, like, there's a lot of tedious stuff. Like, I've seen with all these online businesses that come at the beginning, like you were just saying that you had to do a lot of research and you had to just figure out like what is going on in each topic that you were doing for the videos. And it's the same thing in other industries. Like for social media marketing, for example, like you'd have to personalize emails to hundreds of people per day and just literally go through podcasts they were on, articles, et cetera, right? So everything gets really tedious. And the thing is, like, a lot of people haven't really built up the fundamentals yet and the mindset shift that leads them to be able to stick to that consistency for more than maybe like even for some people a week. And like, honestly, like there's people that say, like, if you can do something for 90 days, like not even a lot of people can brush their teeth for 90 days straight. And that's like, yeah. And like, that's the main thing. And I think, like, just looking at the demographic, like there's a lot of certain things like people don't realize about it. Like, and then there's like such a stigma put on, like, oh yeah, why are you like, a lot of people are going to like shame you for pursuing an online business, right? But a lot of people who pursue it, right, then maybe they're part of the demographic that is not really, you know, cut out for something like this, or haven't really developed that mindset yet where they've like hardened their mind.
Yeah, that's the tough thing with like this topic. Like, yeah. I can say like quit this, do that, whatever. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know the person that's currently viewing this, right? I feel like you have to make that decision yourself if you feel like you've got what it takes, right? And I strongly had that feeling when I was like 17 or so already, which is kind of weird, but I just had the feeling of like, I don't know, I'm not gonna go to school, it doesn't really make sense. And then I don't know, I just knew I was going to do something, which I know sounds very weird. I'm also not sure where that's coming from, but I just kind of had that feeling. But like I said, you never really know if for every person like me, for example, there are 10 other guys that also didn't go to college, but now they're messed up and their like life's not going well. So that's always tricky. But I think, yeah, all you could say is like, just make that decision yourself. Don't really get too caught up in people saying you need to go or need to do this, or, you know, like, don't do that, because then you're only gonna go against your own thoughts, and that's not good. So I just think decide yourself instead of getting forced into it. But yeah, like you said, apart, like, in terms of like quitting college or this and that and like building the fundamentals, if you're in a situation where you can build the fundamentals and then even if that wouldn't work out within 6 months, you would have no problems at all, then definitely do it. So I was living at home. I was 17 when I finished high school, right? I then went to Thailand in like summer 2018. And then when I got back, I was still 17. I lived at home. If I didn't make any money, there was no problem at all. If I didn't do whatever, there was no problem. So I was kind of in a situation where I didn't even have to make money or, you know, anything. Whatever happened, yeah, if I didn't get successful,
yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Exactly. There wouldn't be a problem. So if you've got that situation, then I definitely think you should not go to college. If you don't know what you would be doing, if you don't know that the class that you're going to be taking is what you actually want, plus you've got a situation where if you don't go, you can explore a business or whatever it is, right, that you want to do without having any issues at all, even if it doesn't work out within the next year, then definitely do that over just for going into it for a matter.
Demo, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Because I feel like, you know, situation is also key in this place. You know, like with you, you had the situation to be able to do that. And I think, honestly, though, like for a lot of people, I think taking a gap year and then, like you said, like, you know, it's not really wasting time if you're actively trying to figure out what you're doing, right? Because in that gap year, you can you know, you can look at different things that you want to do, maybe like SMA, like you did YouTube automation. I think it's more about using your time wisely than what you're doing in that specific moment.
Yeah, definitely. This meeting is about to run out.